So we're thankful for that. In Acts chapter 20, we're going to begin reading in verse 28. This lesson this morning is we're leaving the doctrinal study just for a while, and this is one of the more exciting lessons that I have presented, and one of the more sober lessons. And we're going to really challenge you with some things this morning. But in Acts chapter 20, Paul's at Ephesus. He knows he's going to be going to Jerusalem. He knows this is the last time he's going to see these people. This church at Ephesus is a great church. Many, many of the other New Testament churches were started out of the church at Ephesus. He's called the elders down to the seacoast, and he's going to share his last words with them, very, very weighty words, very important words. And he says in verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." And so Paul, it goes on and says that they wept in verse 37 when they found out they're not going to see him again. But here is Paul. He wonders, no doubt, what he can leave with this people that would stabilize their lives, that would be a blessing, that would undergird them, support them. And he says there in verse 32, he commends them to God and to the word of his grace. I want to talk to you this morning about how vital it is to get into God's word. We need to be in the scriptures. The Bible says three times in the New Testament, once in the Old Testament, the just shall live by faith. And then we find in Romans 10:17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, I'm not a very good artist, but here's a, well, just look at that as a hard drive on a computer. And a hard, and put yourself in the mindset of you being a hard drive. And if you get a hard drive, if there's nothing on a hard drive, it's worthless. You have to get something into the hard drive to use. If faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and God tells us to, the just shall live by faith, unless we have something in our heart, unless we've been feeding on the word of God, the Holy Spirit has nothing to work with. I know the Holy Spirit is supernatural and God can do anything he wants to do. But the bottom line is this, that God uses the word of God to work in our lives. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." If there's three things that, if you were saying you have a special meeting this week and you're going to all week going to preach on soul winning, we might not have a lot of people come to that. Soul winning is fought against. Prayer is one of the things we struggle with. But Bible study is also one of the things that we struggle with. And it is so, so vital to get into God's word for ourselves. And he says there, what the consequence of that, he says, "and which is able to build you up and give you inheritance among all them which are sanctified." He tells us in Peter, but grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us that as newborn babes, we ought to desire the sincere milk of the word. Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone. Job says, neither have gone back from the commandments of his lips and have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That Job considered having God's word in his life and going to God's word more important than eating food that would sustain his body. Psalm says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When you go to the Christian armor in the book of Ephesians, the only offensive armor that we have is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. And so I'm simply saying today that in the day that with which we live, as it's always been, doesn't matter what point in history, if you and I do not make a time for ourselves to get into God's word, then we're going to be struggling. And so this morning, I want to give you, on the paper that I've given you, I want to give you a tool for getting into God's word. And we're going to work our way through this morning. But this has really been beneficial in my life, and I think it can be beneficial in your life. It's just a tool for studying. And on this page here, I've given you a number of single verses that you can use this, or if you want to call it a method on. Don't have to use this. You can just be reading your Bible and come to a specific verse that you're really impressed with, and then read it like we're going to do this morning. But I want you to turn. We're going to study. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. And we're going to just do something that we could do in our quiet time, in our devotion time. And in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, it says, let your conversation, and just to help you here, you would maybe need to get some Bible study tools, but this word conversation here means your lifestyle. And I'll give you that much. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so when we go into this Bible study and this verse study, there's about nine things we want to do. We're going to perimeter the verse. We're going to paraphrase the verse. We're going to pulverize the verse. We're going to personalize the verse. We're going to pray. We're going to seek the parallels to the verse. If we find a problem that we don't understand, possibilities that we could take this verse and use it in our lives, and then possibly a protracted study. But let me explain this. First of all, perimeter to the verse. Perimeter of the verse suggests that you read 4 to 8 verses before and after the verse selected. Establish the theme of the passage, the setting, so that your interpretation of the verse will be linked with the passage. Write down a summary of what the passage is saying. And so I know that this is going to move you out of your comfort zone, but that's okay. And so I want you to read that verse, and I want you to read the verses before it and after, and kind of get a context of what it's about, and then we're going to talk about it. And if you want to be embarrassed, you just won't read it and won't do anything, and I'll call you and you'll say, I don't know. But it's not that difficult. So what we're saying right now is read. If I was you, I'd drop back to verse 1. And read down to our verse 5, and then a couple of verses after verse 5. And if you don't know how to read, Nate, your wife's right there, she'll help you. Some of you are already sweating bullets, thinking I'm going to call on you. Okay, I don't know how much time I'm going to have here, so maybe we'll just start and we'll kind of work our way through it. What is actually happening here in chapter 13? It doesn't seem like he's on one subject, but what's happening here?
Trusting the Lord.
Okay, but in the context of the whole letter, where are we at? Are you smiling at me? Doesn't it seem that we're almost at the it's almost at the end of the letter, right? Chapter 13. It seems like what Paul is doing is he's hitting on one thing after another, not necessarily connected, but also being connected. But he's just trying to, at the end, say some things to these Hebrews that he wanted to get to them before the letter was ended. And again, it's inspiration, but he's talking about brotherly love there in verse 1. And then he talks about, you know, entertain people, you know, provide for people. And he's saying, remember those that are in bonds. So he's talking about, you know, taking care of strangers, concern for people that are in prison. And then he jumps over to marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And so they're not all connected, but they are connected in the sense he's trying to tell us some very practical things for a moral life. And very practical things for the Christian life. That these are things that, you know, it's not just theology. It's not just, you know, study of God and theology and getting into deep things of the Bible. But he's saying, as you live the Christian life, these are some things you ought to be doing. You ought to love the brethren. You ought to be compassionate toward the stranger. You ought to understand that marriage is a wonderful thing, and God blesses that. But to have sex outside of the marriage confines, that God's going to judge that. And then we come to our verse. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so, then he says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And so, the context, or really perimeter, just tries to get the context. He's giving some very straightforward and very specific and very helpful comments towards how you live when you leave your house tomorrow. How we should live as godly people, as children of the Lord. Okay, paraphrase write out in your own words, or if walking or driving, say it aloud. Well, paraphrase is just to say it in a different way, but that shows that you get it. Who wants to be the very first? And I don't rush into this, but who wants to be the very first to paraphrase this for me? Mike. That's basically the three parts of it, isn't it? Don't be coveting, be content, and the Lord will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And as we go on, that's going to grow in importance there, because here's the bottom line. That if we have the Lord, why would we want to covet anything else? That he's the greatest we could have. Yeah. And then he goes on and says that next verse, so that we may boldly say the Lord is our helper, because he'll never leave us nor forsake us. All right. Now, polarizing, this is where we really begin to chew on it, to meditate on it. polarizing the verse involves three exciting ways to assimilate the spiritual digest as truth. First, emphasize aloud each word in the verse by exclamation. For example, if it was Philippians 4:13, repeat loudly and slowly, I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. You see the importance there? I applies to me. It's not I maybe can or possibly, but I can and I can do. Then contrast the verse. Give it the opposite meaning to reveal what the verse is saying, such as, I can't do anything through Christ because he doesn't give me the strength. Next, pick out at least two words that are important from those you have emphasized in the verse. List them on your study sheet. For example, one might list the word things or strengthen. Third, ask questions and seek answers about these two words. Relate the words in your own needs to the verse of Scripture. Use the questions, what, why, when, where, who, how. For example, what are some things that I can do through Christ? Or why have I been failing to do these things? And how can I begin doing all things? Okay, now look at our verse. Let's emphasize these words. We're in verse 5 of chapter 13. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. All right, let. We're emphasizing let. What can we get from that?
It's a decision.
Yeah. When he says, let your conversation or your lifestyle, he's saying, listen, we have a control over our lifestyle. That we have a choice. That we're not just being overwhelmed by the world. That we have a choice. And God is going to help us, but God's not going to help us unless we make a choice and to lean on him. And so the word let is really a really important word, because we don't have to be overcome. We don't have to be coveting. We can. There's a decision of the will in our heart that needs to be made. Let. And then he says, let your conversation be without covetousness. And I don't know if we can just emphasize conversation, but let's talk about let your lifestyle be, that is the word be continually, without covetousness. And to think about that word covetousness and the idea of breaking one of the Ten Commandments. And so however you want to do it, may not work out like Philippians there, I can do so much. But here we're emphasizing the words, and be content. Do you ever have to, is there ever a necessary time in our lives where we need to just take the spiritual man and shake him and say, be content? I think there is. And be content with such things as you have. Mm-hmm. Their side by side's a little bigger than mine, and it hauls a little more stuff. Be content.
Interesting about that, though, because the second word is your. So it's not so easy for us to look at somebody else. So
that's good.
You need to be.
Yeah. Let your
verse let your.
Yeah. Tend to your own mitten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at your own life.
That's good. Yeah. And be content with such things you have, okay? I enjoy doing this in the negative as he suggested, because when I do it in the negative, it so much emphasizes what we have in the positive. So somebody want to take a stab at saying this in a negative way?
If I'm not content with what I have and what is in my life and have been born.
Okay. It's good. Anybody else? Now's the time to impress your father-in-law. All these girls over on this side, they're just smiling at me and keep no eye contact. All right, let's make a stab at it. Let your lifestyle be one in which you are always pursuing things. And to be a success in this world, you need to have a drive for more. After all, you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Don't count on having God help you. You're the master of your own destiny. Well, that's the world, isn't it? But he says here, the very important part about this verse is, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then the next one, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And so, he's in this one verse, as we begin to study it, this one verse, as we begin to pulverize it and we begin to dig into it, then it begins to cause us to think. It begins to make us internalize it. It begins to speak to our heart. It begins to challenge us. And we begin to engraft it into our lives. And he would have us then, the next thing would be to personalize this verse. The verse, by letting the Spirit lead you to see a need in your life, or a challenge, an opportunity, a failure. As experience relates to that verse, we must link the scripture through Spirit's power to our life. The verse becomes alive as it's digested and assimilated into our life. What will you do about this verse as it relates to your life? Well, personalize it. Let me... we could say, have I let the desires of this world, by covetousness and not being content? Because here's what the deal is, and I'm wanting to jump ahead here. Maybe we will, but what is? Look over in this would really come up probably when we parallel, but look over into Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. What does that say? It's right after Philippians, guys. Oh, I must have the wrong verse. Where is it? It says covetousness, which is idolatry. Is that what it says? Oh, so it went beyond verse 5? Is that the... Okay. Okay, so the point is that to covet, he's, it becomes idolatry. And so he says here in our text that we're reading, let your conversation be without covetousness. What chapter was it? I'm sorry. What was it?
Hebrews 13:5.
Okay. Yeah, at the end of the book. You guys got me all frustrated now. Okay, so look at this. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. And so we got all this junk we're piling up over here, and we got to have it. Christmas is coming. We get all these nice presents that break down before January 15th. All this is piling up, and we want more. Oh, I didn't want that toy. I wanted something else for Christmas. And so if people aren't going to buy what we want, we'll go out and get it for ourselves. And we're getting all this stuff. And it's all on the balance beam. It's all stacked over here, you know. We got the balance beam. But on this side, we have the promise that I will and never leave you nor forsake you. And he goes on and said, the Lord will be our helper in the next verse. And all this outweighs all that junk totally. I'd rather have Jesus in silver and gold. I'd rather be his and have riches untold and to be a king of a vast domain. And so, as he's writing to these people here, he's saying, you know, take control of your life. Let your lifestyle be without covetousness. And he says here, and be content with such things as you have. What is another verse about contentment? That godliness with contentment is what?
Great gain.
Great gain. And so, as I'm studying, and I'm just simply saying, of course, you know, I've been a preacher for years, and so I understand that there's more things that come into my mind and come into your mind. But I'm simply saying that what happens is you say, I want to study the Bible. You know, I want to read the Bible. I want to get into the Bible. Pastor is saying, get into the Bible. But I just read it, and it seems like that it goes through my eyes and right out my ears. Because I did my daily Bible reading today. I read three chapters. Well, what did it say? Well, whatever it says in, you know, Psalms 23-26. And we don't get anything. And so our hard drive is empty. And we go out to face the world with a sword that's dull.
Well, you talk about, you know, personalizing it, and it's what I've practiced with, even when I, you know, sing the song, you know, that I try to make it my instead of your, you know, that's how a lot of things are lived. And it helped me to draw that line also, especially when, you know, studying. I took Isaiah 53, just for example, if I could read a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Because I crossed it out and added I instead
right.
of we.
Right.
Because I couldn't personalize it for myself.
Right.
But it says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and I hid, as it were, my face from him. He was despised, and I set no value upon him. Surely he had borne my griefs and carried my sorrows, and I did esteem him.
Yeah.
And you know, and I had to start reading it from a first person.
Absolutely.
Second person.
Because it's so easy to take the pitchfork and pitch it onto. Yeah.
And it doesn't set. You know, you have to, like you said, you know, you have to put it in hard drive. Because I didn't have anything to reach in for.
Right.
Until it became mine.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's all we're getting at here is that we have the richest and deepest and most important book in the world sitting on our tables. And it can give you life and life abundantly. It can help us in the wars that we face. It can build us up as Paul said to the Ephesians. But you have to get into the book. And all this is, it's just a tool to help us take some time out of the day and to get into the book. And then to make it even more personal, the next P is to pray in the verse and just, you know, talk to God about it. And say, Lord, I realize I have been discontent. That I have not, I've not really, really be content with such things as I have. And I know that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. That there may be times in this life when we go without some things. And it's not saying that we're not going to suffer some things and that we're not even going to not be needy. There are some times that we're needy. But we can walk even in the valley of the shadow of death and know that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And when it comes right down to the nitty gritty, you're lying in the hospital and the doctor says, you don't have long to live. What's this all worth? What's this worth? It's worth everything, isn't it? And so one of the things the Bible does, it reprograms us. And it gets our mind back where it needs to be. But listen, you can't reprogram anything if you can't stick it in the hard drive. We need to internalize it. And it'd be a stabilizer for our life. Now, parallel passages, I would suggest to you, I went online this morning and there's a site called Thrift Books. You can buy used books and you can buy used Bibles on there. But if you don't have a Bible that has center column references, then you can go online and even say, you know, cross references, and you can find some sites online, you get cross references. But when we begin to parallel this, we go and we look at some cross references. And so if you have a cross reference Bible, and 13 and verse 5, what are some of the references that you might have? Anybody got any cross references? Well, give me one.
13, verse 5, you're talking about Hebrews?
Yeah. Okay. Do you have a cross reference Bible? Right. One good cross reference also is in Matthew chapter 6. Let's go over there. Matthew 6. And let's begin in verse 25. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. As ye, are ye not much better than they? And so he said, if God takes care of the animals, he'll take care of you. I think it's also important to note the context here. You don't see any birds sitting on the tree limb or out on the fence post with their mouth open saying, where are you, God? How come you haven't come by yet, God? They're out there searching for it, and God's providing it. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. It's not saying that we don't have a responsibility, but God will provide. He provides. And then it says here, which of you taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? You know, instead of being 6'2", skinny, tall, dark, and handsome, you're a little pudgy guy like me. Isn't that kind of ironic? You know, you can add a couple inches to your width, but you can't add to your stature. Yeah. Verse 28. And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore God, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But, important conjunction, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. And so Hebrews 13:5 is really saying, you know, seek the kingdom of God. Put that first. Don't be, realize that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And realize that the next verse says that he's our helper, that he'll help us so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who has spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of your conversation. And so, is it one thing just falls upon another? Don't be just always wanting things. Understand that God will help you, and understand not only does he help you through his word, but he helps you through those who are in authority over you. And it's just so compact, this whole thing about living the Christian life. But what I'm trying to pound into you this morning is that it's one thing to talk to Brother Girth about when in his gold mining days and how they found this one place and there was just a bunch of nuggets down in the cracks of the bedrock and he's down there and getting them out and that'd be fun, man. But you see, it's one thing to do it, and it's another thing just to hear about it. And I'm simply saying that, you know, I could tell you all about catching a king salmon on the Salto River. And I remember the first one I caught. And after I got through with that, there was so much adrenaline running through me, my arms were just shaking like that. And to shoot the first moose. But go get it yourself. I'm simply saying, there's nuggets in the Bible. Amen. Tremendous nuggets in the Bible. Yeah. and go dig them up for yourself. Understand what I'm saying? And so, I'm just telling you that we have our pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, that's the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, that they could do the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ. But you need to dig for yourself. Now, I've been going through some fasting times, not spiritual fasting. I actually did a 72-hour fast a while back. But I know this, that you can't live very with much strength with just 3 meals a week. You come here on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and Wednesday. And I'm just telling you, that's not enough. That's not enough. But get into God's Word. And what's kind of amazing, too, that when you get into God's Word and you just study one verse, you can make it as long or short as you want. And I certainly wouldn't use this page back here to write my notes. At least I can't get them all on there. But I'd use this format. But you need to get into God's Word. And what happens is, I found this on numerous occasions. I'll get into God's Word, or I'll memorize a certain verse, and I start the day and get into the day, and something happens in my life, some challenge, and that scripture that I studied and I memorized answered the very need of the hour. Because you see, this whole thing is much more than academics. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And chapter 4, verse 14 tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But you cannot separate God's Word from the Word of God. You can't separate God's Word from Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And so it's not just academics. It is so personal and so tender and so helpful and so emboldening and so so much a blessing to realize that He never leaves me nor forsakes me, and He's my helper. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm simply saying this. You have to fight for a time to be with God. Because everything in this world, and Satan himself, and your flesh, is going to fight against it. Go ahead.
Just a verse.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
I will trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not unto my own understanding. In all my ways I will acknowledge Him. And until I can acknowledge Him and see Him in the Word of God, He can't direct my path.
Right. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Yes. Yep. Absolutely. A personal walk with the Lord. Okay. And so I should end with a challenge to you. Bow your head and commit yourself. There's more I could have added here, but when Daniel, if you look at the study of Daniel, he had a set time, a set place, and he went every day. And if you're going to get into God's Word, you're going to have to say, okay, I'm going to do it before I go to bed. That's not the best time. I'm going to get up a half hour earlier. I find that a better time. But you need to set a place. You know, if you're going to have to change the spark plugs on your car or put a new light bulb in your daughter's car, you have to pin them down to a time and a place. But you have to set a time, and you have to fight for it, and you have to prepare for it. And okay, and so you do, and something comes up, and you miss that half hour in the morning. Well, don't miss it the next day. Don't give up. I'm telling you, here's what's happening. God's people, truly born again Christians, we're losing the battle. We try to go forth and share Jesus Christ as a witness, and we're not anywhere prepared even for the battle. And I know the Spirit of God is great, and He can take anything we do and use it. But I'm telling you that God called us to be soldiers. And we're losing the battle because we've not been in God's Word. Okay, y'all looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate.